and welcome to Twigged,
a lighthearted plant-based podcast exploring the vegetal roots of history and folklore, what might kill you and what makes a decent snack. I'm Alex, a plant history and storytelling enthusiast.
I'm Alice, a big fan of myths and stories and a dedicated plant muncher.
So this was meant to be the last episode of season one. that was the plan. And for it, we are revisiting the topic that we did for our very first ever episode that we never released because it turned out we hadn't quite got our tech sorted out and there were some little mishaps, so we ended up scrapping it.
It would have been really nice to end on this one that we chose at the very beginning, but that would have meant 13 episodes.
I was willing to chance it, but...
I just think, you know, 14 is a nicer number.
It's great. So we're going to do 14. And what are we doing for our penultimate episode, Alice?
Apples!
Apples! We've done it before, we'll do it again. So the genus is Malus, and the most common species is the Malus domestica, which is made up of a lot of different cultivars, apparently more than 7,000 of them. We also have Malus sylvestris here in the UK, or the European crab apple, and there are other species of apple as well throughout the world. They're pretty widespread.
They originated in Central Asia and are now cultivated worldwide.
Yeah, they're from Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and parts of China. Mm-hmm. They were domesticated about 4,000 to 10,000 years ago, and then they came to Europe via the Silk Road. But they're now native or naturalized in most temperate zones, both in the North and Southern Hemisphere. And in terms of the name, there's a lot of excitement about whether Malus is related to malum, which is the Latin word for bad or evil. But it seems like that's probably wishful thinking. And it makes sense considering a lot of the mythology around it. But
bad apple.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But probably that's just a coincidence. And it's actually related to the word melum in Greek, which means fruit. Domestica is domestic or domesticated, and sylvestris is to do with the forest. They are in the Rosaceae family, which kind of makes sense when you look at the blossoms. They're a bit rosish. Mm-hmm.
So the apple tree is a deciduous tree that grows to about 2 to 4.5 meters tall if it's cultivated, but up to 9 meters tall if it's a wild apple tree. They have sort of a simple oval-shaped green leaves and really pale pinky white blossoms, which bloom in spring, and then the fruit would be ready to harvest in late summer or autumn. And the apples range from like really bright red and green to a softer yellowy pinky tone.
Yeah, actually, there might be blossoms out right now. I'm not entirely sure if I kind of calculate forward to when we're actually releasing this episode. They're lovely, they're like really full clusters of blossoms.
Yeah.
And yeah, the leaves have little serrated edges to them as well, which are quite, I don't know. I love a serrated edge. I feel like I gravitate toward them. I just find them real fancy.
Yeah, they look great.
Apples feature heavily in a lot of stories, but this is partly because apple used to just be used as a generic word for fruit and even sometimes nuts. And this is reflected in some of the old words for various fruits. So banana used to be called an apple of paradise. Fun.
I love that.
Tomatoes used to be called love apples. In French, potato now is pomme de terre, which means earth apple.
Everything might have been an apple.
Apple is coverall. Who knows what we're talking about when we're talking about apples? We could be talking about any old thing.
Yeah. So this episode should be called apples / all fruit and veg.
And nuts.
And nuts. What about beans? Do we draw the line at a bean?
A legume.
A droop.
So, I mean, this seems like a bit of a silly question to ask now. Can you eat it?
Yes. Yes, you can eat the fruit, of course. Although, interestingly, the seeds contain a substance that can release cyanide, although in really, really small amounts. So it's not really harmful if you swallow the seeds, but you probably shouldn't try to swallow them.
Yeah, I definitely know people who eat the entire apple who have like the core and all.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're fine. Yeah. But yeah, isn't that similar? The cherries also had cyanide in the yes. pips, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember that. So the apple blossoms are edible as well, sometimes used as a nice garnish. But I read that they should be eaten in moderation as they also contain cyanide precursors.
Ooh.
So I'm guessing something that could turn into cyanide. So a touch of the cyanide, but not so much that you need to panic.
Just a whiff, a suggestion, yeah. A soupçon, if you will.
Different cultivars are bred for different tastes. So, for example, different ones are bred for eating or for cooking with or for brewing cider. So I think the ones that I would be most familiar with, and this is probably the same for people living in Europe anyway, are Golden Delicious, Granny Smith, which is one of the most tart varieties, Gala Apple, which is one of the most sweet, Pink Lady, which is my favourite, Braeburn is another really common one, and then there are ones that I'd never heard of before with some really cool names like Envy, Cosmic Crisp, Jazz, Autumn Glory, Sugar Bee, Smitten, Honey Crisp, Snapdragon. I really want to try a Honey Crisp apple because that sounds delicious.
We'll try to find you one.
Yeah.
It'll be a mission, an exploratory mission.
Yeah. So do you want to hear about all the wonderful things you can make with apples?
Oh my God, please, yes.
Obviously, you can just eat the apples, which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to make them into other more delicious things or equally delicious things. So we have some really good old-fashioned desserts that you can make with apples, such as apple tart, apple pie, apple crumble, strudel. Quite often grated apple is used as a natural sweetener in sort of healthy cakes and muffins. It's great in salads. It's lovely roasted, which I didn't know until you recommended it
yes.
to me. They're also traditionally eaten with pigs. If you eat pigs, for example, pork and apple sausages. I also made a winter spice jelly last winter and I used apples as like the main ingredient.
They're great as like one of the ingredients in jelly because they've got some good pectin
yeah.
in them. So they'll help set your jelly even without kind of setting agents.
Yeah. Also toffee apples and chocolate covered apples are really popular at Halloween, which reminds me that we used to love bobbing for apples. Did you do that?
No, I've never done that. Toffee apples are lethal for your teeth though,
oh,
aren't
yeah.
they?
I remember in school, I think it was my cousin took a bite out of a toffee apple, and then when he took his mouth away, his tooth was stuck in it.
Was it already loose or did it?
Oh yeah, it okay. was a tooth that was waiting to fall out for a little while. That's about all I've got for recipes. I do have a few health benefits.
Go for it.
But I mean, I'm sure everyone knows, you know, apples are fruit. Fruit's good. Eat it. So apples are a source of fiber and vitamin C and polyphenols, which are an antioxidant. All in all, a great snack.
Isn't the old adage that an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mostly looked up, I kind of left the eating to you and I went for the drinking.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That sort of fits with both quite
yeah,
well.
I know. So I, along with some friends of mine, made cider for the first time last year.
Oh, wow.
It's not a roaring success. This has driven home to me the fact that actually the distinction of cider apples might be quite important because we just got any old apple from kind of the countryside near where we were living. Also last year, I was introduced to the concept of the wassail. So the word is thought to come from the Anglo-Saxon washal or washal, which means good hail or good health. Once Christianity came to this island, it started to be a 12th night tradition. So Epiphany is the 6th of January and the 12th night is the 5th. But because this predates the Gregorian calendar, it would have been on the 17th of January before, which apparently is called Old 12e Night.
Oh!
Which I really liked. But it also predates all of Christianity, so would have just been during the Yuletide / winter festivities. So what would happen? There are two types of wassailing. The orchard wassailing is when townspeople would go into the orchard and they'd make lots of noise, bang pots and pans, do lots of singing, and pass around this wassailing bowl. which are these like big chalice shaped bowls, sometimes with a lid, and they'd drink out of this communal cup. And they'd usually drink a hot alcoholic beverage, like a mulled cider. So they'd sing to the trees, and that was to scare away the evil spirits and to please the good ones that lived in the trees so that they'd have a good fruit crop the next year for both eating and then making more cider. There is another type of wassailing, which is going door to door, a bit like caroling. And they'd sing like the carolers and pass around this wassailing bowl and do drinking. And they'd sometimes go to the lord of the manor's house or like whoever the kind of feudal lord was. And in return for their singing, they'd drink toasts and get gifts and food. And apparently sometimes this led to people getting really rowdy and like refusing to leave unless they were given stuff. So, you know, in that song where they're like, give us some figgy pudding.
Oh.
We won't leave until you give us figgy pudding. Yes. And they're really stubborn about it. Yeah. So apparently that's kind of that vibe that sometimes happened when people
that
got.
That sounds really fun.
It sounds really fun. So, my partner Rich told me about wassailing in December of last year, and he ended up writing a wassailing song as like a
That's why that word's familiar.
Yeah.
The song.
Exactly. We were really bored. It was locked up.
I was just sitting there thinking, I swear I've heard a song about this. Where have I heard that song?
Yeah. So Rich and our friend Emily, who's our, like, we were a lockdown bubble, they wrote their own version of the Gloucestershire wassail song.
Amazing. I feel like we really ought to feature the song.
We could put a bit of it at the end. Yeah, so that's my wassailing story.
That's great.
We should wassail next 12th night.
Yeah, let's do it.
1, 2, 3, 2. Wassail, all on the towpath. We come with mulled cider to fill up your glass, to fill up your glass, and to drink it with thee as we see our 2020 on the old river lee.
Perhaps partly because the apple could be any old thing. There are many, 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 many stories and myths, but they could be about kiwis. We don't know. They say apple. Mystery. One of the first ones that comes to mind for me is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes, the poison apple.
Yeah, which, you know, reminds everyone not to take food from strangers. So Snow White receives the poison apple from the witch, who's actually her stepmother, posing as an old lady. And then the apple puts her to death. I was going to say to sleep, but she dies, but then is woken up from her death.
I right? think it puts her into a sleep, like a death-like sleep.
Oh,
and she can
yeah.
only be woken from the sleep by true love's kiss.
That sounds familiar.
So yeah, she's essentially dead until she's woken up by a magical
by random kiss. Man who walks by and is like, oh, I'll chance this.
I'll try kissing that woman that I've never met before.
Tell us about William Tell.
So, the story of William Tell is a Swiss legend. At the time, Switzerland was, I believe, being invaded by the Austrians. And there was a commander or a leader called Gessler. And when they tried to take over the small town where William Tell lived, Gessler placed his hat on top of this tall pole in the centre of the town. He ruled that everyone should bow to his hat as they passed.
Right, so he didn't even have to be there, they should just bow to his
hat.
No,
he wasn't even there. He just wanted them to bow to his hat as a symbol of them obeying him.
That's such a gross move.
Yeah. Just to intimidate the people and show that they had to obey these new invaders. But William Tell, he was, I think, the only person in the town who stood up and refused to bow to this man's hat. Gessler heard of this, and he also heard that William Tell was meant to be an excellent archer. So he thought of a really cruel trick to play on him. And he said that he had to shoot an apple off his son's head from a really great distance away. And if he was able to do this, his life and his son's life would be spared.
But I guess the idea was, like, if he missed, he'd probably shoot his son.
Yeah. Yeah, if he missed, he'd probably shoot his son. So William Tell refused to do this because he didn't want to hurt his own son. But Gessler was really cruel, apparently, and he said, well, if you don't succeed, then we're going to kill your son anyway. So William Tell was forced to do this horrible challenge, and he was worried that his son would be scared and would flinch.
That sounds so stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, so his son had to stand there and place this apple on his head and stand really still. But his son had been out hunting with his father many times and he was completely confident in his skills, so he wasn't afraid and he stood there perfectly still. And of course, William Tell managed to shoot the arrow perfectly into the apple and I think split it down the middle, didn't touch a hair on his son's head. The legend goes that as he was packing up his bow, another second arrow fell from his jacket and he was asked, were you going to cheat? What's the second arrow about?
Mm.
He was meant to do it with only one arrow. And he said to Gessler, the second arrow was for you. If you had made me hurt my son, I would have shot that arrow straight through your heart.
Excellent. That was really good. Gessler sounds awful.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that William Tell didn't end up murdering his own son. Not murdering, but like killing accidentally. So other stories off the top of my head, there's Genesis from the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the story of Adam and Eve and the fruit of the tree of knowledge, which may or may not have been an apple, but tends to be depicted as one in art.
Yeah, I think the story is that God said they could have everything in the garden apart from the fruit on the forbidden tree.
Well, then of course you're going to want to eat it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then they end up eating it and then they know shame and then things get a bit...
I think they're expelled from the Garden of Eden then. Like they don't deserve to be there in this perfect paradise because they've committed this sin. So I found that apples are known as the fruit of the gods, the fruit of the underworld, and that they're used in love magic.
Love magic?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense because there's lots of stuff about apples being related to love. Like, oh, you're the apple of my eye. And...
Yes. So apparently apple blossoms were included in love sachets, which were used to attract love.
Did you see the thing about how, well, they were a symbol of love in ancient Greece. And so throwing an apple at someone was a symbolic act of love.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if that was literal or if it was like, oh, hi, I would throw my apple at you. I find you so beautiful. And you'd
be like,
thank you. So I don't know.
Do you sort of gently throw it or like present it as a gift or do you like hurl it at them?
In my mind, it's like a bunch of great kids in high school hurling apples at each other. But I recognize that none of those things were historically accurate.
So speaking of Greek mythology and the love symbolism, I've got a couple of little stories, if you like.
Please.
Gaia, who was Mother Earth, gave an apple to Zeus and Hera on their wedding day as a symbol of their love.
A nice wedding gift.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you've spent a lot of money on catering and then someone gives you an apple.
You're like, cool. Great.
You'd be like, thanks.
Cheers. Do you have any other Greek stuff?
So I've got one about Atalanta.
Oh, please.
The huntress Atalanta refused to marry someone unless they could defeat her in a race, which is a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
And one of her suitors, who was called Melanion, was given 3 golden apples as gifts from Venus, the goddess of love. So during this race, Melanion dropped the golden apples and Atalanta stopped to pick them up, causing him to win the race.
No!
And then Atalanta married Melanion. He kind of won it by trickery.
Yeah, that's not really like...
Not by skill.
I would ask for a rematch at that point.
Yeah.
So,
And what huntress, who is like a really powerful, fast huntress, will be like, oh, I'm in the middle of a race, but
let me
look,
pick
some
up your apples.
Like, I'm a bit disappointed that she fell for that.
Did he do it on purpose or did he do it by accident?
I believe he did it on purpose.
Okay, that's slightly better. If he was just like both clumsy and not as fast as her, then I'd be like, she got a really raw deal. But at least if he had kind of planned it and it worked, there's cleverness there. I have a Greek story that's related to weddings and love as well.
Great.
And apples, obviously. So this is the story of the apple of discord. Basically, the Trojan War essentially traces back to like an apple and some wedding politics.
Yeah.
So it was the wedding of Peleus, a Greek hero, and the king of Phthia, and Thetis, who was a sea nymph. And they invited all of the gods and goddesses to their wedding, except Eris, who was the goddess of strife and discord, which I could see why they don't want her there. But strife has a way of showing up uninvited, even if you don't want it to. So Eris grabbed one of the golden apples and inscribed "for the most beautiful" or "to the fairest" on it and lobbed it into the wedding ceremony. I think many people would have been like, oh, to the most beautiful, I wonder who that is. But turns out when you have a party full of goddesses, they don't do that. They step forward. So Hera, who was the goddess of women, marriage, family, childbirth, and was both the wife and sister of Zeus. Athena, who's the goddess of wisdom, handicraft, and warfare, and the daughter of Zeus. And Aphrodite, who's the goddess of love, beauty, pleasure, passion, and procreation, and another daughter of Zeus, a half-sister of Athena, all stepped forward and said, obviously this apple is for me. I must be the fairest or the most beautiful. This starts a slightly awkward debate. Zeus is asked to judge which of them is actually the most beautiful and therefore who the apple is for. And he wisely outsources this to Paris of Troy. Paris can't decide, or he declines to decide for a while. So they, being very clever goddesses, all start to bribe him. Hera offers to make him the king of Europe and Asia. Athena offers a bribe of wisdom and skill in war. And Aphrodite promises to make Helen of Sparta, who's the most beautiful woman in the world, fall in love with him. Paris picks Aphrodite and the love of Helen over the other bribes. This doesn't go down super well. It doesn't go down well with the other goddesses, who are pissed off that he hasn't chosen them. And it doesn't go down well with Helen's husband, Menelaus, who's really unhappy when Paris takes Helen back to Troy with him. But anyway, this kind of attraction or love affair between them starts the Trojan War.
Wow. If it wasn't for those apples, we wouldn't have had the massive story of the Siege of Troy. So the moral of this story is really, if you've got a really bitter friend, just invite them anyway, because yeah, you never know what they're going to do out of spite. So magicians.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Merlin and Taliesin carried a silver bow from an apple tree hung with bells, and that allowed them to travel into other worlds and then return back to this one.
That's cool.
Mm.
So if you have a bough of an apple tree and you hang some bells on it, do you need to be Merlin or some kind of magician to travel between worlds? Or is that something we could DIY?
We could definitely give it a go and find out.
I reckon we give it a go.
I mean, I'm not sure how exactly to get to the other worlds, but from what we've learned about hawthorn trees, I think that's a good place to start.
So we hold an apple bough covered in bells and then run at a hawthorn tree?
Let's try it.
Can't go wrong, especially with all those thorns.
Although, at least if we get like impaled or stuck, somebody will know to come and find us and rescue us, because they'll just hear the jingly jangly bells.
Oh, yeah, help me, please. Ow. Since you mentioned Merlin, you know, in the legend of King Arthur, there's the Isle of Avalon, which I think it's the fairy land where they go to die and stuff. And the Isle of Avalon means the Isle of Fruit/Apple Trees.
Cool.
Mm. There's quite a bit about apples in Norse mythology as well.
Yeah.
In the Volsunga saga, there's the king and queen of Hunaland, and they're not able to have any children. So they're praying and hoping for children, and they pray to the gods. And then the goddess Frigg, who's married to Odin, hears their prayers and tells Odin that he should really intervene and help them have a baby. So there's a giantess who's able to turn into a crow, and she's given an enchanted apple to give to the king, which she does by dropping it on his lap as he's sitting sad on a cliff edge. He recognizes this as a potentially magical apple, because I guess crows don't really go around giving you fruit usually. He brings it back and he's like, oh, I have a magic apple. A crow gave it to me. So he and the queen, or maybe just the queen, eat the apple, and she becomes pregnant. And she ends up being pregnant for 6 years, and in that time, the king ends up dying. So she's by herself, pregnant for 6 years, Eventually, she orders someone to give her a C-section, which they say will result in her certain death. But she is like, well, I'm going to die anyway because I've been pregnant for 6 years. So let's do it. When they do give her the C-section, it says that her child was born grown.
A six-year-old.
A six-year-old, I guess. But maybe like extra because he's kind of part magical.
This is terrifying.
It's awful. It's just...
You could make a horror film out of this.
I think they should.
That would be a pretty good
Maybe we
film.
Should. So she's dying as he's born, but he gives her a kiss before she dies. And he grows up to be this amazing hero.
Oh, that's the worst story I've ever heard. God.
Cautionary tale, don't eat random apples that random old ladies or crows or other animals give you.
Definitely not.
Pick them yourself.
Yeah.
Or get them from a shop. So this is the penultimate episode of season one of Twigged, at which point we'll go away, have a little break, and come back with it even bigger and better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Keep the suggestions coming, because even if we don't get to them this time around, it'd be great to line up a bunch for season two. So get in touch with us at twiggedpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can visit our website, twiggedpodcast.com.
We're also on Instagram at twiggedpodcast. And tell your friends, tell your families, tell...
Tell your reliable local veg producer.
Yes, anyone who has a passing interest in plants. Thanks so much for listening to Twigged.
Bye.
Bye.
So here's to our pole, which is 10 inches wide. She's 10 mil on the base plate and 6 mil on the side. She's made of good steel and she cruises the lee. From our wassailing pole, we string unto thee. We scrubbed it and cleaned it and scrubbed it some more. We boiled it up good, dried it thoroughly, so there's barely any chance of infecting thee. So here's to our cider, which warms our insides. It bringeth good tidings and bringeth good vibes. It bringeth good vibes to the holy valley. From Limehouse to Hartford, we'll sing unto thee. So here's to the commuters who wear a face mask, to the nurses and doctors and ITU staff, to the folk on the street who steer clear of ye. From our wassailing bowl we drink unto thee. Those who are present and those who are not, we raise up our glasses, let none be forgot. Let none be forgot through this uncertainty. May the new year bring us joy and